We rely on you to maintain our independent voice on air. Thanks for listening. Thank you for pledging.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Negwa Ibrahim. As a legal scholar, Marjorie Cohen writes in her most recent article, quote, in 1947, the United Nations General Assembly committed the UN's original sin when it partitioned Palestine to create Israel. This launched the Nakba, the ethnic cleansing of the indigenous people, and the establishment of a settler colonial state, end quote. Marjorie Cohen goes on to state in her piece that on November 17th of this year, 2025, the UN adopted Resolution 2803, which now, 78 years later, has resulted in the UN Security Council committing the UN's second cardinal sin of legitimizing Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian lands, approving Israel's genocide, and granting colonial control over the lives of the Palestinians to the United States, which aided and abetted the genocide. UN Resolution 2803, drafted by the United States as part of President Donald Trump's 20-point peace plan, is, as Marjorie Cohen puts it, a UN resolution that is not a peace plan, but rather shamefully grants colonial domination over Palestine to the United States. So today, we will be talking about UN Resolution 2803 and how it is not a peace plan for Palestine, but rather a plan to further colonial domination over Palestine to the U.S. and is a violation of Palestinian people's right to self-determination, with our guest, Marjorie Cohen, Professor Emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, Dean of the People's Academy of International Law, and past president of the National Lawyers Guild. She sits on the National Advisory Boards of Veterans for Peace and Assange Defense, and is a member of the Bureau of the International Association of Democratic Lawyers and the U.S. representative to the Continental Advisory Council of the Association of American Jurists. Her books include Drones and Targeted Killing, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues. Welcome back, Professor Marjorie Cohen, to Middle East in Focus. We're always so honored to have you and to be able to really tap into your expertise.
Thanks so much for having me, Negwa. I appreciate it.
So actually, before we get into UN Resolution 2803, I wanted to see if you could lay out for us what is the current situation in Gaza since the supposed ceasefire in October of this year?
Well, it's not really a ceasefire. Israel is still killing Palestinians with impunity, and it's not a ceasefire. In fact, contrary to this resolution, Israel just announced that the Rafah crossing with Egypt will be open, but only for Palestinians to leave. This violates the resolution, the peace plan, and that underscores Israel's intent to complete the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians from Gaza.
Okay, so now on that note, can you talk about, before again we get into UN Resolution 2803, Donald Trump's 20-point peace plan? Because I know UN Resolution 2803 incorporates this peace plan. So can you first lay out for us what was in President Trump's 20-point peace plan? Let me just add something there. And is it a oxymoron that it's called a peace plan?
It is an oxymoron, and it basically would continue Israel's occupation of Palestinian lands. It gives lip service to a Palestinian state, although Netanyahu has said in no uncertain terms that he won't allow that. And it puts him in control of the really colonial endeavor of Palestine.
And I we're going to go into more detail in terms of how exactly it does that. So now, again, now before we get into all the details around UN Resolution 2803, which incorporates Donald Trump's plan for Palestine, which is really a plan to further colonial domination, not a peace plan, can you outline which countries voted in favor of UN Resolution 2803, which ones abstained, and which countries expressed broader support for the resolution?
Yes, well, the United States sponsored this resolution, and I should say that the Security Council is made up of 15 member countries. There are five permanent members: China, France, the Russian Federation, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And then there are 10 non-permanent members elected for two-year terms by the General Assembly, and they include, at the present, Algeria, Denmark, Greece, Guyana, Pakistan, Panama, the Republic of Korea, Sierra Leone, Slovenia, and Somalia. Now, all of these countries, except Russia and China, voted yes on the resolution. There were no opposing votes. Russia and China abstained. And China and Russia had expressed doubts, and Russia had circulated an alternative draft resolution before the vote on 2803. But strong U.S. lobbying of non-member regional allies, Arab countries, basically persuaded China and Russia, two permanent members of the Security Council, to abstain. And the broad support was shown for this resolution by non-Security Council members: Qatar, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, Jordan, and Turkey. And they apparently thought that this would really bring a ceasefire to Gaza, humanitarian aid would be allowed to come in, Israel would withdraw, reconstruction would take place, and a path to Palestinian statehood, notwithstanding Netanyahu's continual refusal that that will ever happen. But this political pressure on these Arab countries led them to support it, and their support basically neutralized any opposition or no votes by China and Russia.
Oh my God, I have so many follow-up questions to what you just said. I'm gonna try to limit, because I we only have the half hour. So, I don't know if you know this, but do you know what was in Russia's draft? I know that ultimately they didn't put it forward, but what was in their draft resolution that was certain aspects of it that were different from the resolution 2803?
Well, I think probably most significant was the right to Palestinian self-determination, which did not make it into this resolution. I know we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, okay. And then, I know you said that for some of the countries like Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, that they thought that this would actually ensure, a ceasefire in Gaza, that aid would get to Gaza. But, I mean, how is it that they actually thought that when you read the resolution itself? It's clear that that's not what the intention is. It's not really intended to bring peace.
I think it was wishful thinking on their part. They have all been wooed by Donald Trump. I think they didn't want to cross him. And they are kind of caught between wanting commercial ventures, investment, U.S. investment, and support for the Palestinians. And it looks like from this their pressure in advance of this resolution that they are giving the Palestinians short shrift.
Okay. Now, you know what? I want to get into who rejected UN Resolution 2803, but I think before we get into that that piece, let's dive into what actually UN Resolution 2803 says and how it furthers colonial domination of Palestine. So in your article, you talk about how it incorporates Donald Trump's supposed, quote unquote, peace plan, including granting control over Gaza to the U.S.-led Board of Peace, and the deployment of a U.S.-led occupation force called the International Stabilization Force, ISF. Okay, so first, what exactly is the mandate of the Board of Peace? Like, what is that?
Well, first of all, let me say, Nagwa, that Trump himself will oversee both of these colonial bodies in collaboration with Israel. Palestinians will have no opportunity to participate in their own governance. So first of all, the Board of Peace, and it's really ironic that it's called the Board of Peace because it will not bring peace by any means. But this so-called Board of Peace is designed to function as a transitional administrator of Gaza. It will have control over all services and the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza, everyone coming in and leaving Gaza. It will supervise the financing and reconstruction of Gaza. And we know from Trump's Gaza Riviera plan that he foresees a resort with lots of profit and probably Trump in big letters all over it after they ethnically cleanse the Palestinians from Gaza. But the resolution, quote, underscores the importance, unquote, of humanitarian assistance. But, and this is the rub, it doesn't require the unimpeded provision of aid. And of course, we're seeing now after the so-called ceasefire was called that not enough aid is entering Gaza by any means. The people there are still starving, in need of medical care, and suffering the way they have been for the last 2+ years.
So based on that, how does, you know, all those who voted in favor, even those who say they actually want to ensure peace in Palestine and justice in Palestine, I don't understand how they think the Board of Peace will actually, for example, ensure that humanitarian aid will get into Gaza, considering that, especially since it's being controlled by the United States and Israel, considering that that's not even happening now and it's supposed to be technically with the ceasefire.
Well, it's wishful thinking on their part. I mean, these Arab countries didn't vote for it, but their support, as I said, led Russia and China to abstain. And Russia and China, this is not characteristic of them when resolutions in support of the Palestinians come before the Security Council. And quite frankly, my opinion is they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
For abstaining, for not opposing. Either one of them could have stopped this resolution because, as you know, the 5 permanent members of the Security Council each have a veto. And Russia and China, the Russian Federation and China, are 2 permanent members of the Security Council.
Well, and we're going to get into who is actually trying to challenge this resolution. But before we go there, I want to now talk about this International Stabilization Force. So what is the intended role and function of the International Stabilization Force, the ISF?
Well, it is not a peacekeeping force by any means. And so if you see analysis that it is, that is absolutely incorrect. In this resolution, the Security Council authorized the ISF, quote, to use all necessary measures to carry out its mandate, unquote. And therefore, the ISF will have power to disarm Palestinian groups at the insistence of Israel. But there is no provision in the resolution for disarming the Israel occupation forces, which is the body that has been conducting the genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza for the last 2+ years. This military force that answers to a so-called Board of Peace chaired by Trump, who is an active party to this conflict because the U.S. has continually provided military, economic, and diplomatic support to the illegal occupying power, that is highly illegal. In fact, in the words of Francesca Albanese, the special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories occupied since 1967, said, it is a brazen attempt to impose by threat of continued force against a virtually defenseless population, U.S. and Israeli interests, plain and simple. Essentially, it will leave Palestine in the hands of a puppet administration, assigning the U.S., which shares complicity in the genocide, as the new manager of the open-air prison that Israel has already established. Now, while the 20-point plan, Trump's 20-point plan, unequivocally says, quote, Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza, unquote, Egyptian and Israeli troops are given a special role in Gaza under this resolution, and Israel will only be expected to leave Gaza once this so-called Board of Peace is satisfied that Palestinian reform has been complete. This is very subjective, and Israel's security has been assured. So the resolution effectively cedes part of Gaza's territory in perpetuity to Israel, setting up a, quote, security perimeter, unquote, to be controlled by Israel.
So it although it says it will not occupy and annex Gaza, it essentially is allowing for the ongoing occupation of Gaza.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Memorializing it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And well, really, really quickly before I move on, so many more questions. So before I go into some of the additional questions, just want to remind everyone that we are talking today about UN Resolution 2803 and how it is not a peace plan for Palestine, but rather a plan to further colonial domination over Palestine to the U.S. and is a violation of Palestinian people's right to self-determination. With our guest, Marjorie Cohen, Professor Emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, Dean of the People's Academy of International Law and past president of the National Lawyers Guild. I also want to remind everyone that we are in Fund Drive, and the only reason we can bring incredible experts like Marjorie Cohen and have these kinds of conversations that, quite frankly, is not happening enough, not just within mainstream media, but even within certain aspects of alternative media, is because we are fully community-sponsored, community-funded. And that is why we can continue to be able to really bring the truth forward so that we can all make informed decisions about what to do to truly be effective in our action, to bring about the world that we actually want to see. And the way to really continue to pledge your support, make sure that we stay independent, is by calling 818-985-5735, option 2, to pledge your support, or you can pledge your support online at kpfk.org. Okay, so Professor Cohen, you know, you brought up how actually Resolution 2803 is illegal, and I do want to get into that further. But one of the things that makes it illegal is the fact that it actually continues to violate the right of the Palestinian people to violate their right to self-determination. Can you explain and elaborate further on how Security Council Resolution 28, how UN Resolution 2803 actually interferes with and violates the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination?
Yes, Nagwa. Well, in 2004, the International Court of Justice, which is also called the World Court, it's the judicial arm of the United Nations and the highest court in the world, ruled that the principle of self-determination of peoples has been enshrined in the United Nations Charter and reaffirmed by the General Assembly, pursuant to which every state has the duty to refrain from any forcible action which deprives peoples of their right to self-determination. So the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, was clear. Self-determination is an inalienable right of the Palestinian people, and the United Nations and all states, all member states of the UN, have an obligation to assist in its realization. And this can only begin with the immediate and unconditional withdrawal of Israel's unlawful presence in the occupied Palestinian territory. Now, in July of 2024, the ICJ ruled that Israel had to withdraw from the entire entirety of the occupied Palestinian territory. That's Gaza, the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. And then the United Nations General Assembly, which is the democratic arm of the UN system, every country has one vote. The General Assembly followed up on that ICJ decision by setting a final date for Israel's withdrawal from the occupied Palestinian territory, and that was September 13th of 2025. Well, that date, of course, has passed. Israeli troops remain firmly entrenched throughout the occupied Palestinian territory. But now the Security Council is seeking to legitimize that presence indefinitely in parts of Gaza and permanently in other parts, and replacing an abusive trustee with another one is not self-determination. It is unlawful. Now, let me just say, Nagwa, what is the right to self-determination? Well, it includes, but is not limited to, the right of peoples to control their own land and natural resources, the right to be free from demographic manipulations by any third party, the right to determine their own political status, economic development, and future. But this resolution says that only after undefined, quote, reform, unquote, and, quote, redevelopment, unquote, are determined sufficient by the colonial administration, quote, the conditions may finally be in place for a credible pathway to Palestinian self-determination and statehood, unquote. Now, very quickly on the heels of the passage of Resolution 2803 by the Security Council, the General Assembly passed a short counter-resolution. It was actually the day after, and it reaffirmed, quote, the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, including the right to their independent state of Palestine, unquote.
So I'm confused, and again, this is why I'm so glad you're on the show to really share your expertise. What is ultimately the practical impact of the counter resolution?
Well, the counter resolution has great moral weight. It expresses the sentiment of the General Assembly, which, as I said, is the democratic body. I think there are 193 countries represented in the General Assembly, and it can be cited in the future. So it reaffirms the law, which is what the ICJ said in no unequivocal terms. They've repeated it repeatedly, and that is that the Palestinian people have an inalienable right to self-determination.
Oh, gosh. Marjorie, every time I have you on, I think I say this every time, we need to do an hour show, maybe even a 2-hour show. I mean, there's just so much, so many more questions and so much insight that you bring. Okay, so just really quick on this counter resolution and Resolution 2803, just legally, so when there's a, what is the legal recourse when you have something like Resolution 2803, which really actually violates international law, violates the International Court of Justice's own rulings regarding Palestinian right to self-determination? What's the legal recourse to address something like Resolution 2803, which is in fact a violation of international law?
Well, that's a good question. The United Nations Charter grants primary authority for the maintenance of international peace and security to the Security Council. There is a procedure called Uniting for Peace. Uniting for Peace is a mechanism that was created in a resolution adopted by the General Assembly in 1950 to bypass the Soviet Union's veto in the Security Council during the Korean War. And this Uniting for Peace resolution says that, quote, the failure of the Security Council to discharge its responsibilities on behalf of all the member states does not relieve member states of their obligations or the United Nations of its responsibility under the Charter to maintain international peace and security. unquote. So it certainly could be argued, and I think accurately so, that the Security Council, in passing Resolution 2803, failed to discharge its responsibility on behalf of all member states, certainly on behalf of Palestine, and relieved member states of their obligations to ensure that Israel withdraws from its illegal occupation of Palestinian territory. So the General Assembly could act to mitigate the potential harms of this Security Council Resolution 2803 by convening under Uniting for Peace. It requires a two-thirds majority of the General Assembly, and it could, the General Assembly could adopt a comprehensive resolution to reaffirm the Palestinian right to self-determination and the illegality of any occupation or colonization of their land. They could adopt measures to hold the Israeli regime accountable, deploy protection for the Palestinian people, and mitigate the worst elements of Resolution 2803. And I should say that there are war crimes and crimes against humanity charges currently pending against Benjamin Netanyahu in the International Criminal Court. Now, President Gustavo Petro, president of Colombia, declared that he will introduce a Uniting for Peace resolution in the General Assembly in order to establish a multinational protection force for the Palestinians and levy sanctions against Israel and an arms blockade to end the genocide and liberate Palestine from the unlawful Israeli occupation. And no sooner did Petro announce his intention to introduce a Uniting for Peace resolution than the U.S. government revoked Petro's visa and imposed sanctions against him, raised punitive tariffs on Colombia, and threatened the use of military force against Colombia, which would be just as illegal as the U.S. And Trump's been rattling the sabers about attacking Venezuela and illegally changing its regime. And of course, these murders of these so-called people on so-called drug boats are also highly illegal. There is not a state of armed conflict. They are nothing short of murder and extrajudicial executions.
So we just have 1 minute left, and I want to end on – I think I want to end on this note. So in addition to Colombia, who is speaking out against Resolution 2803 and standing up against these attempts to further colonial domination over Palestine and denying Palestinian people's right to self-determination, what are some other countries that have spoken out against Resolution 2803 and have stood in solidarity with Palestine and Palestinians and stood in solidarity with human rights as a whole?
Well, Claudia Sheinbaum, who is the president of Mexico, and she is Jewish, by the way, has decried Israel's genocide in Gaza. She used the word genocide. She has been very clear about the illegality of Trump's attacks on these boats and any possible invasion of Venezuela. He has also, by the way, threatened to attack Mexico to supposedly go after drug cartels there. And by the way, this excuse that he uses about stopping drugs is a spurious one and is not really should not fool anyone, any thinking person. It's really about paving the way to go into Venezuela, change the regime. Venezuela, not coincidentally, has the largest deposit of oil in the country. And of course, his new national security strategy is all about maximizing profit for the United States, if you read it. So Mexico has taken a very principled stand, and we should be very proud of Claudia Sheinbaum.
This is Middle East in Focus, and we have been talking today about UN Resolution 2803, how it is not a peace plan for Palestine, but rather a plan to further colonial domination over Palestine to the U.S. and is a violation of Palestinian people's right to self-determination, with our guest Marjorie Cohen, Professor Emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, Dean of the People's Academy of International Law, and past president of the National Lawyers Guild. Her books include Drones and Targeted Killing, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues. Thank you so much, Professor Cohen, for joining us today.
Thank you, Nagwa, for having me.
And I'd like to thank all of you, the listeners, for joining us today and every week on KPFK's Middle East in Focus. You are the reason we exist, and it's because of you that we can continue to bring conversations like these.